The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and a fantastic Saturday coming up as well. It's day two of the open meeting at Cheltenham. The Paddy Power Gold Cup Chase is the feature race on their card. We also have National Hunt Racing from Wetherby and Uttoxeter, and All Weather Racing from Lingfield in the afternoon. And then we finish the day with the usual All Weather Saturday evening at Wolverhampton. 11:40 a.m. is the start time on Saturday, so make sure you set those alarm clocks. Right now though, we're going to look ahead to the action. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Mark, apart from the nap situation. You napped King of the Worlds at Ayr.
I did, yes.
Earlier in the week. I went to Ayr, and it is absolutely true, bless my heart and all that sort of thing. I backed every single winner at Ayr and napped King of the Worlds, and of course he just got beaten on the run-in. And that is the way things are going.
Yes, it's frustrating at times, isn't it, the naps table?
Oh.
Still early days, John.
Yes.
Still time to turn it all around. And King of the Worlds, to be fair, I thought he was going to win. And
oh,
I was heartbroken on the line.
It was heartbroken because I was convinced he was going to win. You know, I'm terribly pessimistic about naps, but he, apart from one mistake early on, he jumped like a stag. And when presenting junior, Martin Todhunter's horse made a mistake three out, I thought he will win now. And he jumped the last two perfectly well. And then Wilson Rennick conjured up that run from presenting junior. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear, indeed. Let's talk about a little bit of news, John, before we move on to Saturday's stuff, because that will certainly cheer us up if we're a bit down on the naps. The whole course measurement situation. Apparently, courses now are going to be re-measured following the situation at Wetherby, where apparently the Charlie Hall trip has been wrong for the last 5 years, John. How can that even be possible?
Well, actually, I'm not surprised, to be honest, Mark, and I think it's a very good thing that measures are taking for re-measurement. You know, the clerks of the courses, to save ground, have constantly changed the position of the rails. It's one of the great bonuses, having plastic rails, quite apart from the fact that horses can go through them without being hurt. You know, you can move them. And when they're moved, whatever the clerks say, like, you know, 7 metres longer because of movement of thing, they can't be absolutely accurate. So I think it is a good thing that they are being remeasured, these distances. And I just hope that clerks of the courses do realise that when they start moving the rails, they really have got to, you know, make it accurate, because I'm not a great timekeeper myself, but
no.
You know, it makes Andy Holding's figures go crazy, really.
Yes. Yeah, and then if you found out after the race that it was because of the trip not being right, you'd be quite aggrieved, wouldn't you?
Well, so. You would, and it can happen, particularly if you know, just fail to get up, and you then find the distance is 20 metres too short.
Yeah, maybe we should go back and find out if the King of the Worlds race was the right distance.
Absolutely right. I think it's very likely. It was extremely soft ground at Ayr. And I'm quite certain that Emma Marley had moved the rails. Mind you, she does a very good job at Ayr, Emma Marley.
Yes. Hopefully that'll be sorted out pretty soon. We won't have to talk about that too much more. Saïd Agrougi, John, obviously injury scare. There were concerns that he might miss the whole season, but he's going to have a scan next week, and the connections are saying that they're not completely ruling out a run in the Tingle Creek, which is next month. So even if they do miss that, it's likely that we will see him again.
Yeah, that's very good news indeed. It was just a routine gallop, and he came back a little bit lame in the hind, off hind. And I actually secretly, dare I say it, Mark, I know it's entirely wrong, but I'm quite glad he misses the race at Cheltenham on Sunday, because it gives Simply Ned a really excellent chance of winning for Nicky Richards and Brian Harding.
Yes.
I shouldn't say that.
No.
I don't know if we're going to mention the news, the Young Masters disqualification.
Yes.
Just one point I'd like to make. It had to happen. Obviously, he wasn't eligible for the race. But there's been a song and a dance about this. Why wasn't it before the race? I mean, the Racing Post is meant to be, the Bible of the turf. And they didn't say one single snitch about the horse being ineligible to run. So basically, it's a fearful shambles, yeah. And it should have just been completely that. And I don't think that poor old Neil Mulholland should have been fined. I just feel that, the BHA would have come up with much more credit, so would the Racing Post, if they put up their hands and said, we failed ourselves to realise the horse was ineligible before it ran.
Yeah, it's in an ideal world, it should have just been found out before the race happened, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should have. Absolutely.
Anyway, it all seems a bit doom and gloom there, John. So let's move on to Saturday. Some fantastic racing coming up from Cheltenham and other venues as well. And John's going to give us his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we start in the 1:15 at Cheltenham. This is a novices chase over the extended 3 miles, a Class 2 novices chase. And we're down to a field of five here. Creepy, Dropout Joe, Knockhouse, Sausalito Sunrise and King's Palace left in the lineup. And there's several in here with good chances. In fact, four of the field go into this in winning form, John. So it's a tricky race, but it should be a good race, shouldn't it?
It should be a very good race. I was hoping there were going to be slightly more runners in it, Mark, but I picked it out because it struck me that this was a really interesting novices chase. And although there are only five, as you say, it remains intriguing. I thought Creepy, who is a Cheltenham horse, in fact,
yeah.
He's done well over hurdles here, was sensational when he jumped at Chepstow. I mean, he was quite a decent novice chase, and he flew the fences. And Chepstow is a stiff track, as we know, and what it really impressed me was the way that Creepy kept at it. Five fences in the home straight, Mark, and he jumped each of them like the proverbial stag. Now, if he does that again in this race at Cheltenham, he's got to have a grand chance of winning. But we've got others, haven't we?
Yes. Which other ones are on your shortlist, John?
Well, they're nearly all there. I don't think Dropout Joe, dangerous thing to say, but I don't think Dropout Joe may quite be the class. He's a useful horse. He's won over hurdles and fences at Carlisle, and he jumped really well last time out. And Charlie Longston said after he'd won at Carlisle that the 4 mile National Hunt Chase at the festival could well be the sort of race he'd go for. But I just have a sneaking feeling that after a really great start to the season, Charlie Longston's horses are not quite absolutely at peak form at the moment. So I get a Dropout Joe, which is dangerous. I mean, he's a decent horse. I'm also going to drop out Sausalito Sunrise, which could probably be very unwise because this is a multiple winner, very consistent indeed, and in winning form, and Philip Hobbs can hardly do anything wrong. So possibly wrong. I get to keep it to Creepy, who seems to have done the job really well on the course. And we've got, of course, a lurker, and that is King's Palace.
Mm.
King's Palace could be a really top novice chaser. There's little question about that, Mark. Albert Bartlett, wasn't it?
Yes, he was 5-2 for the Albert Bartlett when falling, so well fancied.
He was one of the bankers on the list at the festival last year for the Albert Bartlett. I was at two or three of the Cheltenham previews, and people were banged on about King's Palace. I wasn't absolutely convinced because although David Pipe's horse had won his last three really well, the Albert Bartlett takes a lot of winning and favourites do get turned over. However, he finished second, was it second?
No, he was a faller.
Yes, he was a faller. So I think he's a class horse. And so coming down to it, I'm going to go for Creepy because I fancied that his jumping was so good at Chepstow. But the form horse, the class horse, is King's Palace. And if he jumps really well, he'll be very hard to beat.
Yeah, they put the tongue down for the first time as well on King's Palace on Saturday. So interesting to see how that affects things. The 130 at Wetherby is where we go next. This is a handicap hurdle, a class 4 handicap hurdle, over 3 miles and 1 furlong. It's for 4-year-olds and older. And healthy field size here. We've got 10 of them in the lineup here, John. Which ones are you narrowing it down to?
Well, I'm actually narrowing it down to a couple. We might mention two others. Pay the King for Mickey Hammond, who has a good record at Wetherby.
Yep.
And this one last time out, but only beat a horse of Maurice Barnes's, one of my favourite horses, actually called Quick Brew, who then lost again at Sedgefield last week. So I don't think the form's that great. Bourne is another. Now, Bourne, 2 years ago, would have started a warm favourite for this sort of race. But he seems to have lost the way. He doesn't seem to have the enthusiasm that he did in the past. So I have boiled it down to two in this race. Embassy Crag, to begin with. I think this horse has got to go close. One of the mysteries of the past 2 months, Mark, has been the poor form of Philip Kirby's horses.
Yeah.
I've asked several people why they thought this might be, and the general opinion is that Philip has said that most of his horses like soft ground,
right,
and that it was, of course, very dry in the early part of the autumn, and he simply hadn't got them quite right. Now, stopped out, Philip Kirby was a tremendous winner at Carlisle earlier in the week, jumped like a stag for James Reevely and never looked like stopping. And one or two other of the stable's horses have been going pretty well. Embassy Crag stays 3 miles, likes Wetherby, was third last time out, so should be pretty fit. I think he's got a big chance. But I've got a slight loyalty in this race. I'm going to go for Solway Sam. Not just because the horse has been very, very consistent. He was actually second in quite a decent race at Aintree last time out. It was won by Parish Business, I think, the Emma Lavelle horse. The form of that race is working out quite well. And Solway Sam was up throughout. Wasn't really suited by the slow sort of pace. Likes a stronger gallop. But the real reason why I'm going for Solway Sam, apart from consistency, is the fact that young Ryan Day is in the saddle. Now, I've been watching this young man for something like 6 months now. His name was given to me earlier in the year as a possibility as a conditional jockey who will be really well worth watching. He's a Cumbrian, his family born in Workington. He's now riding regularly for Lisa Harrison. And what interests me mostly, Mark, was that Jim Goldie, Jovial Jim, had decided to put Ryan Day on board his horse Locknell at Ayr on earlier this week. Now, he'd actually ridden Locknell at Ayr when it was 50-1 the time before. I thought he gave Locknell a really good race at Ayr, rode extremely well, confident handling. He looks a young man with a future, and he's on Solway Sam, and he takes off £7, and I think the combination of those two factors suggests that Solway Sam should be near to winning this race.
Okay, yeah, he seems to get on well with Solway Sam as well. He's won on him twice, and then finished. He hasn't finished out of the first two on him in the other runs either, so
yes,
interesting stuff.
The two have a very good rapport together.
Okay, Solway Sam then for John in the 130 at Wetherby. The big race of the day is the 230 at Cheltenham. It's the Paddy Power Gold Cup Chase, a Grade 3 handicap over 2.5 miles, and well, it's a competitive race to say the least. We've got betting on site, and Present View, who's long time been market leader, is still at the top of the betting at 11 to 2. 6-1 for Buywise, 8-1 for John Spirit, Indian Castle 10s, Oscar Whiskey, another one at 10-1. It's then 14-1 for Atterglance, Cadabillet, Easter Meteor, Persian Snow, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Wide open, John, and all kinds of form tying together. So who do you side with in the Paddy Power Gold Cup?
A great race this, Mark.
It is.
Come on, who do you go for? Then I'll either support or shoot down.
Well, I think John Spirit's too high in the weights now. I like the chances of Present View. If you like Present View, you've got to bring Buywise into the situation. And Atterglance, who's an old favourite of mine. I backed him when he won at the Cheltenham Festival a few years ago, and then he backed up at Aintree. So the loyalty bet for me would be Atterglance. I think Oscar Whiskey's interesting over 2.5 miles over fences. I think he's got a big race in him. But I'd probably have a go with Bywise, John.
Well, I'm not going to fire you down at all. Certainly not shoot you down, Mark. I think you summed it up extremely well. I entirely agree with you. I think John's spirit, who's going for a back-to-back in the race, has got too much weight. Dangerous thing to say, perhaps, because he's a Cheltenham specialist, already won at the course this season. But he's got an awful lot to do, I think, under the weight that he's taking into the race. So I'm going to pencil through him. I pencil through Oscar Whiskey, too. He's a favourite horse of mine, a horse of great class. But I'm not that convinced he's a natural chaser. And this race is always run at a very, very fast pace. We then have Present View. Now, well, I still believe Present View was lucky to win that race at Cheltenham at the festival. I know that will not go down happy news for those people who support Present View. I'd had not a fortune, but I'd had a slightly bigger bet than I normally had on At a Glance in that race, and I do honestly think he should have won. I have Brian Hughes is a really good jockey, absolutely nailing good pilot, but he did make, in my view, just a tactical error at the last fence in that hot contest at Cheltenham. Present View was up there in front, but At a Glance was travelling, I thought, much the best. And Brian decided to switch to the inside quite correctly. Jockey on Present View didn't take kindly to that, and he wasn't going to let At a Glance through. At a Glance was second. Had he kept straight at the final fence and gone on the outside, I'm convinced he would have won. Also in that race was Bywise, and Bywise was going extremely well when coming down, and I'm not convinced the Present View will confirm the form with either of those two. I'm very worried about Bywise, because I've got to go for At a Glance in this contest. It is, as you say, a loyalty bet, perhaps, but provided the ground does not get too soft. If it gets heavy, I rather hope the connections will take At a Glance out overnight, because this is a horse who definitely prefers good ground. He goes from good to soft, but he does prefer good ground. So if he were to rain really badly, I would be worried about At a Glance. What I'm pleased about is that patience has worked out, in my view, with At a Glance. He was a dicey jumper of fences to begin with. We remember, of course, first-class hurdler. I mean, a dual festival winner, Cheltenham and at Aintree. But he was a little bit... getting too close to and not really showing a great deal of fluency over fences early on. However, that Cheltenham race was good, and I watched him at Market Raisin in the summer, in the big chase at Market Raisin, and I thought he jumped really well, like a bird on that occasion. Needed the race. He eventually finished up fifth or sixth, not beaten all that far. And at the time, I thought, if he reappears in the Paddy Power, he's got to have a really big chance. So hopefully the ground won't be too bad. I think At a Glance is good value. Bywise is the one who really upsets me. Indian Castle could go quite well. And finally, just a little thought about the race. Colour Squadron was often considered to be the Philip Hobbs runner in this contest. Colour Squadron... was running on the first day of the open meeting, and Philip Hobbs has got Persian Snow in this contest. Now, the little thought I have is, did Philip swap the two because he thought that Persian Snow had a really decent chance? Now, I think I'm right in saying Persian Snow finished third in the race that John Spirit won at Cheltenham.
Second.
So second, was he? So even better. And I just feel that Persian Snow is probably better than the form. So three horses in the Paddy Power, Bywise, At a Glance and Persian Snow. I have to go for At a Glance. I hope the ground will be all right.
Okay, good stuff, John. We're just about out of time, so thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Saturday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of John Budden on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 11:40 a.m. Mick Norton, John Budden and James Millman will be in the studio. They'll bring you all of the fantastic racing on the second day of the open meeting at Cheltenham. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.